Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, utilize the text line. Real quick programming note coming up tomorrow. Gary Palmer coming off of this vote, right before the vote, I guess, the lead up to it. But the congressman from the 6th Congressional District will be a guest on the show. And Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall probably will be happening right as that vote for Speaker is underway. So that and another guest to be named later. So a lot of reasons for you to tune in. Joining us now on the line, however, a friend of the program, always grateful for him coming on, former State Senator Rusty Glover. Senator, good morning. How you been?
I'm doing very well, especially tomorrow. We have the big opening of the Highway 158 extension all the way to Mississippi, and it's a great, great moment in the history of our community and Sims, and it's a long time coming.
We'll talk a little bit about that. I wasn't aware that it was this close, but it sort of just happened, right?
It did. I was driving to Fruitdale to do a school program 3 weeks ago, and I looked over my right shoulder and saw that the lines had been painted on the highway coming out of Mississippi going into the Alabama, the new route. And I thought, this has got to be close within the next 4 or 5 months. This may possibly be open. And then Thursday afternoon, I'm seeing signs go up on the interstate and on Moffitt Road explaining that the new route will open Tuesday. It was shocking. I mean, I was in touch with DOT almost every day, you know, during all those years because of that road and 45 and whatnot. And I had no warning. It was just a shocker. And I'm super thrilled as everyone else is out here.
Well, it's just kind of interesting there. I mean, like this being a big day for Sims and no doubt about it. Talk about that. Talk about the history of quote unquote Bloody 98. Why is it so important?
For years, you know, it was known as Bloody 98. So many fatal accidents on the road. You know, for many years, it was on the two lane where it twists and turns. It's kind of like 45 and hills and all, going from about Mary Montgomery to the Mississippi line. But as we approached through the 90s, it was the four lane areas where most of the accidents were taking place because of the buildup of new businesses and new people moving into the area. It became so congested. You know, like when I take my dog outside today, you know, if I'm outside 5 minutes, there'll be 15, 18 wheelers pass by. It's just such a dangerous situation on the four lane area. And in 2004, it was the first year I was in the second year I was in the legislature. I went to DOT, and DOT was very interested in having a plan for a new route, but they had to have some bills passed to satisfy some environmental concerns over the watershed that this new route would be going over. So I said, absolutely, I'll sponsor them. And, you know, I sponsored and passed over 20-something laws statewide around the state in my 16 years. But those two laws, which were my first two I ever passed, were by far the most important because it's going to transform this area and take all of this heavy traffic onto the bypass, and it's going to be so much safer and so much more convenient for travel along the current 98. And it's taken 19 years before it opens up. You know, and what happened was once the bills were passed, in a few months construction started, and after about, you know, several months of construction, an aerial photo was taken over the watershed, and it showed, this was following a tropical storm and some heavy rains in that September, of red dirt flowing into the watershed. So construction was quickly ended, a lawsuit proceeded, and it lasted 10 years. By the time the lawsuit was settled, all the funding that was appropriated for this project had been sent other places around the state. And so we were at ground zero as far as funding, and we're told it would be another 5, maybe 6 years before there would be funding for to continue the project. And that's when I heard from Margie Wilcox in the House. She had an idea that, hey, we can get some of this VP money and use it. So she sponsored a bill. Bill Hightower headed in the Senate, and we were in a special session in 2016. But the biggest problem we faced was that only 13% of the state legislators are from the Mobile Baldwin area, and everybody wanted their hands in that pie. And so in the Senate, we passed a bill that created several other road projects besides the ones in Mobile and Baldwin County, and we got enough support to get it passed. Well, when it went to the House, the chairman of the general fund decided that we need to put more of that money into paying back rainy day funds. And so it took all those projects. Well, it was a breakdown in the Senate at that point because all these promised road projects around the state that came on the Senate bill now were erased. And so now there was no support in the Senate except for our guys for this plan in Mobile and Baldwin County. Now, Highway 98, I think it was 181, I believe, extension maybe. And there was no support from the rest of the Senate. So we were in an impasse in that special session. And it took a lot of maneuvering on part of the general fund chair, I believe at the time, was Trip Pittman. He did a lot of he held a lot of meetings for us in negotiating with the other senators, and we were able to come to a compromise, get some of the funding for this area, enough to put a two-lane bypass together. We had enough money for that. That is what's being created, and a lot of people don't understand, well, why is it just a two-lane? Well, that's what the money we have for now is for two lanes. Later dollars are going to come in, and it'll be four lane. But the most important thing is it takes all this heavy traffic, these heavy trucks, off the current 98 and puts it on the bypass, which is going to be it's not going to be very much access onto the road. So it's not going to be a lot of traffic lights. It's going to be a free flow, not a lot of hills or turns where it's going to be a safe, much safer two lane road until the other side is built. So it's just so exciting to see this come about. And it's going, like I say, it's going to be a transformation of Sims. You're going to see more businesses come along that new route in Sims. Some areas along the watershed, there'll be some restrictions on types of businesses along that area and homes, but there'll be a build up of population and businesses along the route. And I do have a concern for the interchange at 158 and I-65, because it doesn't look like there's been a lot of changes and making it easier to access this new route with so many travelers. I don't think a lot of people realize how much traffic comes from the Midwest into this area, going to Disney World, the Gulf Shores, Destin, all these places. But there are thousands of cars that come in each week from North Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, and other parts from further way off than that. But it's just clogs up 98, and it's going to clog up that interchange quite a bit unless they can DOT can put forth some sort of a freer flowing process for cars and trucks to get on and off 158. It's going to be some major backups, but I think maybe opening it up at this time rather than in the summer when there's so much traffic from the Midwest will make it a little easier for a transition, and hopefully they'll get things worked out in Sarah Land to where it'll be a freer flow.
Is it going to be sign 98, the new 158? Are you going to, like, you come in from Mississippi, will it be 158, or are we going to say, hey, turn here, this is the new 98?
When you're coming in from the Midwest and Hattiesburg, you're going to be on 98, and then when you get to the Alabama line, it'll be 158. If you want to go into Sims, you have to make an effort to get off of that road to go the old route, kind of like Loosedale was bypassed many, many years ago, decades ago.
Right.
You have to make a special effort to get to Loosedale. So now you have to make a special effort to get to Wilmer and Sims, which will keep that out-of-town traffic from going through there.
What about maintaining the existing 98? Do you worry? Because you see this happen sometimes, Senator, when they build these bypasses and then the old route kind of falls into disrepair.
I believe last I've heard, this was years ago, I was explained that it would then become a county road, and or at least a portion around us would be a county road, county maintained. But it's not going to be taking the two-lane portion that we have now between Mary Montgomery High School and the Mississippi line. I would say probably 90% of that traffic will be redirected, and probably in the summertime, probably 95 to 99% of that traffic will be redirected. So it's not going to be as much to maintain the heavy trucks. Probably well over 99% of the heavy trucks coming through will not be on that road. So it'd be much less needed for maintaining when this opens up.
Well, and you know, does this Were the people in Sims or the businesses in Sims and Wilmer ever worried? Because sometimes you have bypass, you bypass those existing businesses. Were they ever worried about a decrease in business because of less traffic?
You know, there was, I remember a fruit stand being up in Wilmer that I know they had a lot of out-of-town traffic. And I'm sure there'll be some gas stations. But, you know, I don't remember, you know, this was, you know, back in 2004, we went into special session that fall. What we were doing, we were putting a budget together after Bob Riley's big tax plan failed by the voters. We went back in special session to pass a budget. So we're in special session. And I don't remember anyone from the businesses complaining. Of course, the number of businesses that are being created and put in Sims, I would think, are probably quadrupled, at least quadrupled the number of businesses since 2004 out there. They built the Walmart, all those businesses surrounding that area across the street. I would say the number of businesses have quadrupled since 2004, and they all knew if they had any kind of aspirations of collecting business from dollars from those out-of-towners, they knew it was eventually coming. The bypass was coming. It may be a while, but they knew it was coming. I don't remember ever receiving any complaints or people who were worried about, you know, losing money. But there will be fueling stations, gas stations who will. There will be a cut of amount of money that they get when this comes in, and that's really the only downside that I see. But the people, the safety of the individuals. I've had so many students and friends and people at our church killed on that road, and I know it's so sad each time that happened. And of course, we're seeing it now with Highway 45. That has got to be addressed. And seeing all these new projects talked about around the state, and then 45 is just ignored. It's like these people, their lives don't mean anything, and it just breaks my heart. We were doing a school program at Lott Middle School a few weeks ago, and I told them, I said, you guys, y'all's lives are just as important as anybody else in the state of Alabama, and for them to be talking about new roads and all these expenditures and leaving y'all alone, I said, y'all need to write your governor and see if you can influence them, because your state representative, Shane Stringer, and Senator Jack Williams, they're working hard to get 45 done, but we got to get the governor on this, because it's so sad what's going on with the citizens that travel 45 day in and day out.
One more question on 98, and then we'll talk a little about 45. But on 98, is there the possibility? It's a two lane bypass, but will it eventually be four lane?
Yes, it will be as soon as the dollars come in. When will that be? I don't know. I haven't really been in the loop. You know, I was in constant contact with LDOT when I was in office, but I'm not sure when the long range plan for that is. Actually, having it two lane right now is getting that traffic off 98 a little swifter than it would be if there was four lanes. So we're happy to get them off the lane, and so we're not in desperate need to get that other lane built. It was more or less get this traffic off of this 98, and now that's being done. Eventually it will be done, but like I said, I'm not sure what the timetable is on as far as is completing it.
But you know, sometimes these roads are built and they're built just for the intent, or they, you know, there's no anticipation that will be four lane, but it looks like to me, especially some of these bridges, yes, that there is a lane there,
yes,
for the future other side.
Yeah, they most definitely are planning on it. It's just the timetable is uncertain to me. I'm not sure, Shane and Jack, they may, Senator Williams and Representative Stringer may have more knowledge of this than I am, but it is definitely going to happen.
Joined by Rusty Glover, former state senator from Sims, but very plugged in on this situation. Let's talk 45, and it doesn't look like anything's moving on that. They don't even have it in the long-range forecast. We've been hung up on that West Alabama corridor and 65, but...
Yeah.
How do you start winning hearts and minds on this one? Because it just seems to me, when I talk to Easterbrook, when I talk to these other guys, it's a place, it's a relatively, you know, like kind of rural, isolated place in Alabama. There's no votes there. It doesn't matter. What do you do to start getting people to say, hey, this does warrant being a priority?
Yeah, sadly, that's the way a lot of them look at it. It's just not many votes. There are all people from Washington County coming south for work each and every day, but the enormous amount of the traffic is coming. You know, it's the folks that live in Citronelle that work here, folks that work and live here that are going through that area. And I don't know the answer. I think we've been searching for a way to convince them for years on how to get this done, but. You know, talking about it, keeping it at the forefront. You know, I mean, last time I was on the program, I said I'm not even going to even discuss any of the other two road projects until they get the dirt flying on 45, because that's far, far, far more important. You know, I'm sitting on I-65 in a traffic jam. I'd rather the road be fixed that's going to save lives than it is for comfort. And but you know, I think at least what they could do is pinpoint the areas on 45 in between Citronelle and Mobile where most of the accidents are happening. And if they can four-lane the carnage that's out there on that road, I think if they could, you know, a mile here, a mile there, some of those areas where they've seen the most accidents, where the deadliest curves are, hills are, get that done. And then, you know, when more money comes in, I mean, at least they could do that. But you know, it's just going to take a lot of money and, I mean, a lot of time, a lot of pressure, a lot of talking about it. Because we're Mobile and Baldwin's 13% of the makeup of the legislature. And it's kind of hard to find leverage with the rest of the legislature when we're in those with those numbers.
Senator, got to leave it there. We're out of time. But thanks for that update. Thanks for the history lesson there, because I think it's really important that people are aware of that. But we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Looking forward to riding on the new road tomorrow.
All right. Let us know how that goes. Anyway, we got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.